The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, my friend Tom Fairbanks. And not only my friend, it's great to have a friend who is your engineer and producer on the other side of the studio glass. Hey, Bill, if he's such a friend, why do you keep him on the other side of the glass? Well, no, he'd be a friend if he was on this side of the glass, right, Tom?
It just shows you how intelligent Bill is.
Oh, yes. We are broadcasting from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios on this Wednesday, February the 19th, 2020. We are on 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk. Of course, we have our worldwide live listening. So many people listen to our program with the what we call the live stream. That's at buckmastershow.com. And, of course, KVOI.com also duplicates the stream. All of our podcasts are available. We're very good about making sure all of our programs are put up and archived, usually within an hour to two. The program is already available for you on podcast. And, of course, our live line number during the program, we're always welcoming your calls. That number is 790-2040. Folks have probably heard the city of Tucson is in the process of consolidating our 911 dispatching services. And my goodness, what could be more important than a 911 call? It certainly, of course, is life or death in many circumstances. The process has been going on for a number of years, and we are starting to see, from what I'm hearing, signs of significant improvement. We have with us in studio the new Director of Public Safety for the City of Tucson. Her name is Jamie O'Leary. Jamie is a former police officer in Guthrie, Oklahoma. She also had a similar position as Director of Public Safety in the city of Oklahoma City. Jamie, how are you? It's good to see you and to meet you.
I'm doing great. It's great to be here.
How did a former cop get involved with this kind of work? And I know when you went to Oklahoma City to take over that system, you saw some similarities to what you're seeing in Tucson, correct?
That's correct. So really, that's a two-part question, and
right.
It's a funny story. I was waiting. I was a young police officer, and I was waiting with the medical examiner to pick up a body, and he pulled a flask out of his boot and took a swig in Oklahoma and asked me if I had finished my college.
Uh-huh.
And I said, oh, no, I have a grown-up job. I have a retirement, so I'm good.
Yeah.
And he says, that's the stupidest decision you've ever made. I was very offended.
Uh-huh.
And then I thought on it and I finished school. So school took me in the direction of advanced degrees, and I taught for a little while at the University of Central Oklahoma and then found myself hired by the city of Oklahoma City. So it came full circle and I got back in law enforcement and public safety. And that's where I remained. And it's my favorite career path.
What was their system like, Jamie, when you took over?
So in Oklahoma City, when I took over, they hired me from the outside because we did not have individuals inside who were qualified to do the position. And of course, that causes a little internal conflict. We had a high turnover rate, higher than the national average. We had people that were taking demotions to leave 911 because the job was so difficult. And we had higher than normal vacancies. So it was in a little bit of a mess.
Did I hear you say they were taking demotions?
Correct.
To get the heck out of Dodge?
Yes.
Just get me away from the 911 system. Now,
yes.
What does that tell me and our listeners? Hey, that's got to be a pretty high-stress business.
It's incredibly high stress.
And now, what kind of person is attracted to become a 911 operator? They got to have an adrenaline rush, right?
You're exactly right.
Yeah.
In my opinion, some of the most awesome people in the world are attracted to this profession because they want to save lives, they want to help people, and they do it for no thanks. Nobody knows really what they do. If they walk into 7-Eleven after work, who knows what a dispatcher looks like? And so they save lives all day long, and they want the ball. They want to be in charge of that situation and go towards danger. So they're really cool people.
What are you finding about Tucson? How is this going, this effort, this consolidation with police and fire being dispatched from one central location? Well, which seems on its face to be a good idea that should have been implemented a long time ago.
So consolidations are difficult historically, and all across the nation, consolidations are difficult, and a lot of them fail. So we are in a good spot. We're physically consolidated. I'd like to tell everybody that we're not philosophically consolidated, and that means people are still retaining like their former identities. Like I used to be police, or I used to be fire. What we have on our side is we have the city leadership is so awesome. They had the foresight to make this its own department, and they had the foresight to support that. And I can't say enough about our city leadership in that way. It's one of the reasons I took the job is because I have that support and unending type of support to help me affect this. So we're in the philosophical stages. We're getting ready to have uniforms. We're getting ready to have a building remodel, and that helps the employee morale.
Yeah,
when their morale is high, they deliver the best service, which is what we are. We're public servants.
So everybody will have kind of like a polo shirt that says, I mean, sort of a team building thing, for want of a better way to put it. Everybody's going to feel like, hey, I'm part of the team here.
Correct.
And you're doing important work. And these people, I'm sure, realize they're doing important work, but it is stressful. They do work, they go 10 to 12 hour shifts. That's tough. There is a national shortage for hiring 911 operators, and I'm sure that's the same situation here. And does that is that a pay issue, or is it just the nature of the job?
It's a little bit of a pay issue, and that's not just restricted to Tucson. That is across the country. And the reason for that is nationally, the individuals who do the job that we're talking about are classified as clerical workers.
Really? Yeah,
absolutely. They're first responders all day long, and there is a movement to reclassify those positions as first responders.
I think they should be.
They should.
I think they should. They are. That's the first line of defense
when
that call goes out there. Now, let's talk a little bit about the hold times and response times. I've got some numbers in front of me, Jamie. TPD, 9/11 in 2018, before you came, 36-second average hold time. In 2019, 21-second average hold time. That's good news, Jamie O'Leary. That's a reduction of 42% on the hold times.
Yes, it is. And I think that number is even inflated a little bit, and the reason for that is that we adopted some new technology called criteria-based dispatching, which helps that call taker ask the right questions.
All
there's a learning curve we just implemented about 8 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So I would suspect those average call wait times are actually going to go down just a little bit once they adapt to that technology.
I also have the numbers on the TPD, what they call priority times, priority in 2018, 13-second average hold time. TPD priority 2019, 7-second average hold time, and that's a reduction of 46% in the hold time. How do you know, Jamie, it's a priority or it's something else?
So when a call comes in, when we are given that information by the caller, that's exactly how we know what type of priority. So if somebody says, look, I lost my cell phone, I need a report made, that's one priority, and we want to help those people. But if they said, my door is being kicked in, I'm inside the house, that's another priority. Mm-hmm. And so that helps us triage that call to make it exactly what it needs to be.
The call could be something like, and I've heard this is the case, and I know you don't want to discourage anybody from ever calling 911, but somebody said, the doctor appointment, or my general practitioner, I can't get in to see him or her. Can you help me and send out some paramedics? It happens.
It does, sure.
Yeah. So, sure. But that would not be a priority call.
It's not a priority call, but I will tell you that through our training, we learn to ask enough questions to make sure that what we're being told is exactly what is going on. Sometimes people tell us a little bit and there's more to it. Mm-hmm. So that call very well could be more, and we might need to send paramedics. The person may be having some issues and they're not able to articulate well. So that's part of the training and part of the reason why we stay on the phone and really do try to deliver good service to
people. There's really a psychology component in this, isn't there?
Absolutely.
I mean, then God forbid there's the call that comes in where somebody's threatening their own life. That's a big deal, obviously.
I'm a former hostage negotiator, and I can tell you that I use those skills every day in business and then also in this line of work. That's really the same principles apply. Learning how to de-escalate somebody who may harm an officer, who may harm a firefighter, who may escalate and harm others. That's part of our training, is to de-escalate a caller. And it's one of the more critical parts of our training and why it takes so long to become a 911 call taker or dispatcher.
We'll get into that, Jamie, in our second segment with you. And if people would like to join in, if you have a question about our 911 system, what we're doing with the consolidation, Jamie O'Leary has joined us. Jamie came on board in the autumn of last year from Oklahoma City, where she had a similar position directing public safety in OKC. But right now, Jamie, I want to talk about something that's very dear to my heart, bakery goods, my favorite bakery in town. Ooh. Do you love bakery goods?
I do. I was hoping there would be some here.
Oh, boy. I come in the door every morning, and I hope there'll be some of them here. But if they are from my favorite bakery, well, that would really do it. That's Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's is located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They're up very early, as you can imagine, getting ready for all first of all, they get the grill all fired up at 6:30 in the morning for a hot breakfast. They're open right now. If you still want to do breakfast, and Jamie, I know you know people who kind of, maybe it's noon, but they're still in the mood for some breakfast, right?
I'm one of them.
There you go. Well, they can do that. They can take care of that right now at Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, monasdanishbakery.com. Of course, there's a link on my website, buckmastershow.com, not only to Mona's, but all of our great sponsors. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Jamie O'Leary is with us talking about 911. We'll be right back with Jamie after this. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com.
Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include the amazing 30-year history, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen.
Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. I'm Bill Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio on 1030 Tucson's Voice, and we like to call it a Tucson's place for trusted news and talk. Jamie O'Leary is with us, and I've been looking forward to meeting Jamie. I know she came highly recommended from Police Chief Magnus, and we had the chief on last November, and he said, we're really excited. We've got this new public service or public safety director, and I wanted to give Jamie a couple of months before bringing her. Sometimes you bring a new hire in, Jamie, and it's like, oh, how do you like the job? Well, I've only been here. I'm still learning, you know, where the coffee machine is. But no, you've been here a while. We talked a little bit, Jamie, about the new call triage system, criteria-based dispatch. This is kind of the state of the art of your business, isn't it now?
It is. There's only one other place in the country that is using that in their call center right now, mm-hmm. and I wish I could dredge that up. Just to give a little shout out to Chief Magnus, he is one of the driving forces, I believe, before I got here, who partnered with us to help us decide to adopt that technology.
I think it's Washington, D.C. D.C. City is the only one using that. Talk a little bit about the type of calls you're getting.
Well, we get every kind of call you can imagine, but we do get a lot of burglary calls. We get a lot of domestic violence calls, which are deceptively dangerous mm-hmm. for all parties involved. Of course, we get a lot of collision calls, as you mm-hmm. might realize.
Sure, accidents.
Sure, property crimes and those types of things. But I think domestic calls are one of the things that if you were going to train someone, they would want to know how to take one of those right away, because you absolutely get property crime and domestic violence calls.
Do you have any stories about domestic violence calls that have a very positive ending?
I do, and I love to tell the story because it ties in with something that the public can use to help them. Very long story short, we had a female caller, and she was in a new relationship with a male and had gone to his home with her 9-year-old son. Mm-hmm. Of course, this is an unfamiliar location to the 9-year-old. Mm-hmm. While they are at the location, he begins to choke her. And for the educated members of the audience who know what the law dictates of choking, domestic is particularly dangerous. Mm-hmm. It carries a felony charge in Oklahoma. And this little boy didn't know his address. And we don't always know where you're at. And so my call taker asked him to find a piece of mail in the house and read her the address.
Good way to do it, yeah.
It's a fantastic way. And I tell everybody to take junk mail and circle the address on your, put it on your refrigerator for your kids, because people don't write letters anymore. They don't know where it's at.
Right.
We did get help there. We did save their life. And so it was a really positive ending. But time is of the essence in every one of those calls.
Do you know the location typically of the call?
Not always.
Interesting.
So television tells us.
Yeah, I assumed when a call comes in that you guys know, this address.
So the best way, I tell everybody, I know it's going out of fashion, but anybody who feels like there might be some reason why they couldn't verbally articulate their address, a landline is your best bet. Mm-hmm. Very best bet. I keep mm-hmm. one myself because I have children, and if they get panicked and call 911, it's tied to the address.
Right.
Newer technologies allowing us to get a closer idea. It's mm-hmm. within a range on a mm-hmm. cell phone, but everybody has different years of cell phones. Some people mm-hmm. have the old flip phones. Somebody have brand new ones. Brand new have better location mm-hmm. services. There's a lot of technical jargon I could get into. At the end of the day, we do have GPS on your phone, but it's tantamount to getting a search warrant to access your GPS just because we want to. we only access your GPS on your phone for exigent circumstances, such as a hostage situation, kidnapping, suicidal individual that we need to locate. Mm. Otherwise, we have to have express permission to do that, because that is your privacy.
Speaking with Jamie O'Leary, Jamie coming from Oklahoma City, she's the new City of Tucson Public Safety Director, and your story about the one of your employees, the 911 dispatcher, who really thought outside the box with that idea, go look for a piece of mail. I would think during the training that this is the kind of thing that you would encourage your employees to do.
We do. We specifically incorporate that into our training, and then also multiple ways to speak. We call it controlling the call, but it's really speaking with that individual to make sure that we get exactly what we need from them so that we can get help started.
What now are some of obviously you've had growing pains with the consolidation. How far are we from getting this thing to where you would like it 100%?
100% where I would like it, I say we are 18 to 24 months, because I'm talking about mindset and philosophy. Physically, we are consolidated. We're all under the same roof. Employees are doing a fantastic job of running the daily operations. Philosophically, we're not quite there yet, and that's just a normal part of consolidation. So we're working on some being employee-centric right now and helping people through that. And I suspect takes about 18 to 24 months to trust a new director. I get a lot of people saying, are you really staying when we have a hiccup? You're not going back to Oklahoma, right?
Oh, well, they're maybe thinking this is just, well, Jamie's using this as a jumping place to somewhere else.
I think they worry about that.
Even a bigger city, yeah.
They also worry that maybe I'll uncover something under a rock, there's some hiccup, and that I'm going to be scared off. And this is not my first rodeo, so I'm not scared off. I'm invigorated.
One thing that kind of jumped out at me is 12-hour shifts are tough. And I know you being a former police officer there in Guthrie, Oklahoma, and I'm sure you worked your share of 12-on shifts. Is that something, though, with the 911 dispatchers? Why are they working the 12-hour shifts? Is that just a case where you just don't have enough men or women to do the staffing?
So that was actually my first goal when I got here, was to pull them off 10 or 12-hour shifts. And I realized right now that the training level, in other words, we have people trained to do different functions.
Right.
My goal right now is to get everybody trained to do all functions so that we can physically interchange one person for another so that we can give relief and breaks. Mm-hmm. Right now, if I wanted to physically interchange with you and you had a particular call skill set, I might not have somebody that has that same skill set to interchange. So we're going to accomplish the training piece and then look at getting them off those 12-hour shifts, because I think that's too much as well.
What's their work environment like? I know you mentioned something about remodeling.
So we're hoping any day now that we are going to go ahead and pull the trigger on and the demolition portion of remodeling the facility. So their work environment is a little crowded right now. They've handled it like champs. I just think that they're amazing for that. But the goal, obviously, is to include a lot more things like natural light, bigger space, room for growth, a gym. It's a sedentary job. We need to take great care of these people. They need to get up and move around.
Yeah.
We tend not to eat healthy. We tend not to exercise in these positions. And so we want to work on that. We have that obligation as an employer.
I bet the junk food level is a little high. I'm just guessing.
That's just a really mild way to put it. We like baked goods too.
Yeah, there you go. Everybody loves baked goods. So your own background, why did you decide to become a police officer?
Well,
is that something as a kid? Did you play like cop or something?
I always pretended I was David Jansen off The Fugitive.
Oh,
and I carried back when little kids could carry little pistols that looked like real pistols had a cap gun. I carried that for years.
Wow.
And then my great-grandfather was a constable in Missouri, and my grandfather was a deputy sheriff. Mm-hmm. None of the boys went into law enforcement, but my sister and I became law enforcement. And so we just carried on the family tradition.
And you said then you went back to college while you were on the police force?
I did. I went back to school and finished my criminal justice undergrad and finished graduate work. I wanted to go to law school. school could not afford $800 a credit hour and got a master's in business administration and finishing up a psychology master's.
Now, we talked about response time with the police. How is the fire's response time?
Their response time is good.
It is?
Yes, it is. They do a good job.
Is there a national rating service that looks at response times?
There is. Every industry has their own professional agencies. So fire has their professional agencies. Police have CALEA and different underpinnings. Mm-hmm. We have APCO and NENA. But truly, the team we have right now with Chief Chuck Ryan in fire and Chief Chris Magnus, we could not have
better.
Now,
we need to get the new fire chief here on the show.
And he's an
that's another case
guy.
Where... you know, I heard he was here, and I didn't want to get him on until he had kind of got his feet wet here. I think he came from or comes from Virginia, I believe.
Yes.
But he's
yes.
got a really good background.
Fantastic background. Yeah. I could not ask for a better team. Both of those men are outstanding, very cerebral, very intelligent, very, very good at what they do.
All right. Anything then that you would like our listeners to know about the system if they unfortunately have to call it, what would you like them to know?
The most critical thing that I hope people will tell us is exactly what their address is. That is the way we can get help started to you. Everybody wants to call and tell us what's happening. That'll be our next question. But we really want to know where it's happening so that we can start those services. And then I just want people not to be afraid to call 911. We are putting things in place to do some non-emergency types of services, but we want people to feel really confident that if they do call us, sometimes we get apologies. Like, oh, I don't know if this is an emergency. Well, right now we're going to triage that.
Yeah,
for
you'll
you.
Sort that out.
Yes.
Jamie O'Leary, we're out of time. But again, if you do have to call 911, I am calling from, and then put in your address. That's kind of the takeaway message here. Jamie, it was a pleasure to meet you. We'll have you back on.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. Midway Point Buckmaster, be right back.
Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include the amazing 30-year history, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hey, it's Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
And this is Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
Matt, did you hear that Travel and Leisure magazine just ranked the Douro Valley as a top 50 spot for world travel?
Yes, so how about Portugal and Spain for my next culinary and cocktail cruise?
Let's do it on the Douro River aboard the new Amadouro ship from Ama Waterways.
I'll need a chef's table dinner, winery tours, and other private excursions.
Matt, consider it done.
Thanks, Ryan. Portugal and Spain, here we come. Go to bvtravel.com to learn more.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Green Things, I love what they're doing over there. Not only Green Things for all of your growing needs for the past 50 years, but they also have Zocalo Village now. Zocalo has that great collection of antiques, fine art, handmade furniture, lighting, home accessories, and gifts. Put that on the 13 acres of amazing plants, trees, and annuals and more. Everybody has a great experience. Open daily at Green Things, very conveniently located, 3384 East River Road. Their website, greenthingsaz.com, zocalovillage.com, two places that if you haven't been, you're going to have a great time when you go over to Green Things. It's time for our 2020 Your Vote, Your Voice candidate conversations. Today we turn to one of the three Democratic candidates in the race for Pima County Attorney. Mark Diebold is with us. Mark, how are you, sir?
Good, sir. Thank you. Nice seeing you today.
Tell me a little bit about your qualifications. What are you bringing to this campaign, Mark?
Sure. Thank you. I have been a deputy county attorney in the criminal division of Pima County Attorney's Office since 1997. That's 23 years that I have been involved in criminal prosecution.
In the courtroom?
In the courtroom. Over 300.
In the trenches.
In the trenches, looking at the bad guys in the eyes. I do the major crimes, homicides, drive-by shootings, aggravated assaults, attempted murders, and the vast majority of my 320 felony jury trials are dedicated to the bad people who hurt good people. As I mentioned, over 50 homicide trials, many, many other prosecutions that have resulted in many, many bad people being put in prison for a long period of time. That's been my focus. That's been my passion and my drive for the last 23 years. I've been doing that without a break, really. I hope to continue to do that.
Did you get into the office right out of college or what?
Yeah, right out of law school, I started clerking at the Pima County Attorney's Office. Had a couple of friends that worked there. They said, you'll love this job. I did love it. It was great. I got to do a lot of things that you wouldn't normally get to do as a lawyer. And in that 23 years as a prosecuting attorney and doing violent crimes, every year it was as much fun as the previous year. So I kept going and I kept going and I kept going. And even though there were times when people said, hey, you know, come over here, work there, go out and make some money. I was interested in making a difference in the community. This is a community that I grew up in.
Are you from here then?
Yeah, I grew up here. I went to, you know, everything from elementary school all the way to the University of Arizona. So about six schools in between or four in between. So I attended many schools here, high school, middle school, even Pima College for a period of time.
Every day you really see kind of the bad side of humanity in this town. Is it generally, though, a pretty safe place?
I feel it is a safe place. Everyone has to be cautious of their surroundings, and that's one of the big things, depending where you are, what you're doing, and who's around you. Anyone can be a victim of a crime, and that's part of my goal is to make sure that people feel safe and feel safer in Tucson. I've got some ideas that I can eliminate some of the horrendous gun violence that we've seen. Even that young 5-year-old girl a couple weeks ago who was shot.
Horrible.
Horrible situation, you know, by a guy who needs the county attorney's attention. And those are all allegations at this point. But it is safe. However, we do experience a significant amount of violent crime, and that's really one of my top goals, is to reduce that over the next 4 years.
What kind of a head man would you be for this legal office in the county, Mark Diebold? What would your office be like?
Well, I think I have led by example. I think I have the dedication that's certainly been proven over the last 23 years. You can ask anyone in the legal community.
You have a great reputation is what you're saying.
I believe I do. I believe if you asked anyone off the record or maybe on the record downtown, they would tell you he's a good guy. He's honest. He has a high level of integrity. He's got a passion for the job. He loves what he does, and he wants to continue doing that. To answer your question about the next several years, I think I have an expertise, if you will, in recognizing by looking at a person's history and things that they've done and their behavior in current cases, how violent they are. And I think people, violent criminals, convicted felons with guns we have to look at that. We have to give it a stronger look. If we can keep the guns out of the bad guys' hands, then I think we're going to have a better chance to feel even safer in our own community.
How about some of these minor prosecutions? Would you try to take a hard look at that? Are we bringing too many cases, in other words, to the jury?
Yeah, a lot of cases have to be resolved short of trial.
Uh-huh.
So that's why we have to identify, because remember one thing, if you want to maximize a person's exposure to prison, typically you would take him to trial if it's a violent crime,
mm-hmm.
okay? Because in that trial, you get the maximum. Many, many times we do reduce those by a plea agreement, and the person gets a lesser sentence. What I'm saying is identify these people as bad people on our streets, and in those cases, take them to trial. We're not talking about lengthy, convoluted trials. Sometimes it's just one convicted felon, violent criminal, who's been released, who's got a gun in his backpack or a gun in his car. Let's go after him to make sure we're a little bit safer every day.
Now, this is a very interesting and important race, and I say very interesting because there is really, at this point, no Republican that is involved in this. So this makes this upcoming primary in early August pretty darn important, Mark Diebold. You've got two of the Democratic candidates are, with the office right now, and then a candidate who is not. How do you separate yourself from the other two? What is your selling point, Mark Diebold?
I think nobody has more experience of convicting violent criminals and putting bad guys away and keeping the streets safe than I do. Nobody.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a more experienced violent crime prosecutor in Arizona. That is me. I have the most experience. I've demonstrated. I've never left. Okay, I've been a lifelong Democrat. I never left the office for more money. And I just think you're right, mm-hmm. August 4th is a big day.
Yeah.
Because there is no Republican running that I'm aware of. Someone could jump in between now and April.
And filing time, but yeah.
Right. And there's no independent, there's no green. I don't mm-hmm. know of any. So it is. It's mm-hmm. three Democrats, and that's mm-hmm. what the people have a choice. They have three different people to choose from. What I'm saying, I'm a lifelong Dem. I grew up in Tucson. Tucson is my community. I have a wonderful wife. I have two young children at home. I have brothers and sisters and other family members in Tucson. I'm committed to this Tucson. I want to be here to make a difference. I've been making a difference. I want to continue making a difference. And what I want to do is mentor and bring in young prosecutors and retain them. And the best as I can do is convince them to stay and make it a career, make it their passion to prosecute, make it their passion to serve their community, and make it their passion to ignore everything else that goes on around them about leaving and other things, and stay in the job and make it a career, because it's a wonderful, exciting, fun career. And
what do you do in your spare time?
Well, as I mentioned,
I know you're a hard worker, but how do you unwind?
So I go to soccer. I go to dance, not myself, but uh-huh. I have a 10-year-old son and a 7-year-old daughter. Mm-hmm. They're involved in flag football and basketball and dance and singing and swim and all kinds of things. So sometimes I'm the moment I drop them off, I can get things done. The entire weekends are pretty busy with activities with the small children.
I bet they are. Well, this is a very important race, and hopefully before the ballots go out in probably July or something, I might invite all three of you to sit down here. We've got three mic positions, Mark. Just have all three of you on for the whole hour together the radio. You'd be amenable to something like
yes,
that.
Yes, of course.
Sure. All right. Well, Mark, where can people find out more about your campaign?
So I do have a website. I also have Mark Diebelt for County Attorney.
Okay.
It shows you some photographs and some background, some information if people want to get involved. The website is markforcountyattorney.com. I have a personal email, mtdiebolt, D-I-E-B-O-L-T, at gmail.com. And if anyone reaches out, I will get back to them as soon as I can.
Mark Diebelt. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you for your time, Bill.
All right. Buckmaster Show continues right after this.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA Board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. This portion of our program presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. That's a really pretty area of the southwestern United States. The land of enchantment is New Mexico, and this is that southwest corner. And it's not that bad a drive. I mean, you're talking like about 3 hours, and something completely different, different state, different elevation, 5,000-6,000 foot elevation. And it's just a great kind of a getaway for the weekend, but maybe you've got time off during the week. SouthwestNewMexico.org, that's the website, kind of the starting place. Check it out, opportunities to do all sorts of hiking, and they also tell you where you were, great suggestions for places to stay in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Always a delight to welcome one of our two dozen or so contributors to the program, and he is the contributor on education, and appropriately so. Dr. Robert Hendricks has so much experience in education, associate professor emeritus at the UA College of Education. He's the former superintendent of Flowing Wells School District, one-time Arizona top school superintendent in 1989. Bob, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill.
Did you always know you wanted to be a teacher when you were a little boy? Did you, like, pretend?
I actually did.
I wondered. Because yeah. Some people, I mean, I'll be honest about it. I used to throw the ball against the brick wall by the garage growing up in Wellman, Illinois. And I was the sports announcer, and I made up all the, you know, I was the Cubs announcer being in the Chicago area. But then I would play like I was doing play-by-play. And look at me now.
Yes.
And now I'm doing real radio, and you've done real education.
I have, and I always think that I don't stop teaching.
Uh-huh.
It's always that opportunity.
You're always teaching. So you've got that, the heart of a teacher.
Right.
Education's been at the front the last couple of legislative sessions, but now there could be these tax increase measures that voters would actually have a say on in November.
Yeah, this is really interesting to me, Bill, because essentially you've got two propositions that are in all likelihood going to be on the ballot. Depending on whether the adequate number of signatures are collected. But they're both really designed to do an end run around the governor, because if these propositions, one of these propositions is approved, the governor really cannot veto it. And so the governor has said, you know, read my lips, no new taxes.
Mm-hmm.
We're in a situation right now where there's a robust economy, and I think there's a lot of money that's coming in taxes, and there's an opportunity to increase funding for education, to improve our infrastructure on roads and bridges and so forth, or even boost social service programs. But he's saying, that's fine, but let's take this money and give some kind of a reduction to state taxes. And so I think these two groups have said, well, enough is enough. We know the state of education in Arizona, and we're going to do something about it. So here are the two propositions.
Okay, and one's backed by Republican lawmakers.
Correct. Well, the first one is really called the Invest in Education, and that's got great support by the Arizona Education Association and other groups. And basically, what they're proposing is to raise about $940 million a year. And the way you do this is that you put a surcharge, or you increase the taxes for people, individuals who are making more than $250,000 a year, or for married couples, $500,000. And the polling initially says that that's a very popular notion, that
this is
people
the tax
might support
the tax the wealthy proposition.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. And that there's petitions being circulated right now.
We did a show on it with David Lujan, who's pushing this.
He is.
Yeah. So this is that. That's the measure that I can't, for want of a better way, that this is the tax the wealthy education proposal.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
All right.
And then the other plan is SCR. 1102, which
House bill, right?
House bill, right? Yeah. 1002.
So this one's coming. The first one we talked about is not originating from the legislature. This one
correct.
Is.
This one's coming from the legislature. Okay. It doesn't have bipartisan support.
Okay.
However, it's a sales tax levy. The current levy on education is 0.06, which is 0.6%. It would go to a full penny.
Uh-huh.
This would increase revenues by approximately $580 million.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, both these numbers, the number I gave you previously and this one, is going to vacillate depending on the income of the year. But this is going to be really interesting because, this is a presidential election year and there's going to be heavy voter turnout. And so you've got two competing plans that really could cause a lot of confusion. And ultimately, one could pass or both of them could be rejected. So here's what the supporters and the critics are saying about these plans. The first one, the invest in education, all proceeds go to K-12 public schools.
Mm-hmm.
These supporters are saying, this is where the money needs to go. Let's not distribute the money any other way. Let's give 100% to K-12 because that's the greatest need. Critics are saying, look, the wealthy shouldn't have to pay for this.
Mm-hmm.
And others are saying, well, the wealthy should pay for it, but the wealthy have a lot of loopholes.
Mm-hmm.
And so ultimately, who knows if the amount of money that's projected is really going to get to that point. And they also say, some are also saying, that discourages future investment in Arizona because it is the wealthier people who make those investments and who are attracted to the state. So that's an issue with invest in education. Will it reach the amount of money that they're hoping for? Should it all go to K-12? The other one, the SC bill, distributes money differently. About 80% would go to K-12, but the rest go to state universities
mm-hmm.
and the community colleges.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a broader, it's the pre-K-16 concept.
But it has to pass the legislature to get on the ballot.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. That hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
And, the pushback on that is that it's regressive tax, sales tax. And there's lots of arguments against that kind of sales tax because, critics will say that it disproportionately gives money, takes money out of the hands of the low-income people, and it's taking more out of their income. Supporters say that that's the fairest way because it distributes, everybody pays.
Mm-hmm.
If you're wealthier, you're going to be buying more goods. You're going to be buying expensive cars. You're going to be paying more sales tax. So early polling, even though it says that invest in education might be the more popular initiative, if the other one gets through the legislature, we're going to have two initiatives on the ballot, and who knows what's going to happen.
Well, when you have two that are they're same subject, people have a tendency just to say no to both because they're confused.
They are confused.
Yeah.
And I think, if both go to the ballot, we're going to have some interesting ads on the airwaves trying to convince people that one is better than the other. Essentially, both of them support education. They support education with a different financial route, and it'll be up to the voters to decide.
All right. We'll keep an eye on it. Two tax increase measures may be on the November Arizona ballot. Dr. Robert Hendricks, thank you, Bob. Always a pleasure.
Okay. Thanks, Bill.
That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Dr. Hendricks and Tom Fairbanks, who's engineering and producing the show, I'm Bill Buckmaster. We are quickly running out of time, so I've got to say goodbye. Dave Ramsey's coming up next with his very popular show. Have a great afternoon.